Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
I want you to grab that key if you've got it real quick and pull it out just for a moment. We gave you a key today, and the key was a blank key. This key ain't opening nothing yet. But if you notice, if this key was actually taken to a locksmith and they would begin to carve the notches into the key, and then if they tried to pull it off too quick and get it out too fast, it wouldn't open anything. And so many times in our life, the enemy tries to pull us out right before God gets ready to break through. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. Come on, St. Louis. And so this blank key, I wanted to represent a couple things. Number one, originally my idea was to say, hey, this is a year of open door. And this key is to say that there's 9 weeks left in this year. So you say, well, my gosh, you know, I didn't have this breakthrough or that breakthrough. You still got 9 weeks. You say, well, that ain't very long. If God did all of this in 7 days, can you imagine what he could do in 9 weeks? So it's important for you to have your expectation high and be reminded that God has the key and you have the key. And part of the key is, listen to me now, is staying in faith and believing. The enemy's always trying to knock the fire out of you and say, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen by now. Well, it's not going to happen to you because, and all the reasons why. You're too short, you're too fat, you're too old, you're the wrong color. The devil never gets up and say, you're the right height, you're the right color, you're born on the right day. But here's the good news. The devil is a liar. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to that. So there's a reason why God opens up doors for people, and there's a reason why the devil tries to block doors. And I want you to write this statement down. Old keys won't open new doors. I'll say it again. Old keys won't open new doors. So if you continue to try to do right now what you did 4 years ago, it won't work. God is doing a new thing. And so you got to come to church like you did today. That's why I'm always encouraging you to go to Growth Track. You can do that today. Get in groups, because many times the thing that God is wanting to do in your life is connected to somebody else. Somebody will say something to you. You'll get a word from God. It can be just, have you ever had the enemy just come and somebody assault you with something? Say, for instance, I watched this. There's a guy at our church today there at Sunset Hills, and he has to have brain surgery in a few weeks. I just found this out this last week. He DM'd me on social media. I know who he is. They own a big modeling company. They discovered Heidi Klum and all kinds of famous people. And when he DM'd me and said, I got this, immediately my heart kind of sunk because I thought, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. So I thought, I've got to use my speech on him to tell him the devil is a liar. You're going to make it. What's worse, cancer or a tumor on the brain or a tumor on the mind? I'm kind of going through my spill on Instagram with him real quick on a voice text. And then he surprised me. He came back and said, oh, I'm not worried. I have complete peace about it. And he began to preach to me so much how he was so full of faith, I was kind of worried that he wasn't a little bit concerned. Come on, somebody help me with this today. My point is if you're at the right church and you get the right information and you learn on Sunday something you can take on Monday, you become a threat to the devil, and then God can open up a new door. Somebody ought to shout amen with this key that you have. This is a major key. Now, Isaiah, they'll put it on the screens for you. Isaiah 22, verse 22. God gave me this scripture yesterday for you. And I will place on his shoulder the key. Everybody shout the key. The key. Come on, look, you had breakfast, St. Louis. Shout it. What? The key of the house of David. By the way, that's not my house. Y'all ain't gotten the key to my house. Okay. And listen to this line. And what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I'm going to read it again. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Think about that. So the enemy and the devil's always lying and saying, well, they're going to sell that house and you're not going to get it. Somebody else is going to get that job and you're not. If it's your door, then nobody can go through that door but you. So by you worrying and tossing and turning and fretting and having anxiety, all you're doing is driving yourself crazy. If you're like a lot of us, it ain't a very far drive. So we don't need to drive ourselves crazy. We need to renew our mind by coming to church and saying, wait a minute, if God be for us, who and what can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and infuses me with power. Somebody ought to say amen to this right now. I have the key. You got the key to this thing. They might steal your recipe, but they can't make your cake. I can't get cake off my mind. I don't know why. Maybe it's still the residue of that red icing on my tongue. So get this. God is getting ready to open up some supernatural doors of opportunity for you. And you have to believe this. I'm going to say it again clearly. The only thing that can really stop you is you not believing that it can happen in your life. You tend to attract what you believe in. Look at your neighbor and say, you've definitely attracted good looking. Go ahead, tell them with their eyelashes on, their weave done. Okay. You obviously believe in that. You can never, ever just accidentally fall into a major breakthrough. It'll be because you were obedient to God and you got rid of the unbelief in your life and you put more faith in faith. Remember this scripture? It said it is impossible to please God if you don't have faith. How does faith come? The Bible said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I love to say it this way. Faith goes by hearing the word of the devil. You're listening to CNN, Fox News, all the time, hearing all the bad things. Bad, 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 bad. And so now your faith begins to dwane. Your energy begins to go away. But then when you come to church like you did today, your faith is getting built back up. And now you don't just limp into Monday. You leap into Monday, know that God is on the throne and he has the key and he's given it to you. Now, Mark 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to him, this is a guy who's struggling greatly. His kid is at the point of death and being tormented by a demon. And here's what God said. If you can, all things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible for those who believe. Verse 24. And immediately the father and child cried out and said, I love this part. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I say this oftentimes. Sometimes the greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind. When the enemy's trying to distract you and God's trying to attract you, you're looking over here at what the devil's doing, or the cancer report, or the marriage isn't working out, or the child seems to be getting worse. And you're looking at the problem instead of the promise. If you focus on the problem and you don't focus on the promise, then what you're doing is you're magnifying. Anybody ever seen a magnifying glass? Yes. By the way, I found out on my phone that there's an app now. It's just on the phone. It's just a magnifier, and I can hit MAG, and it just pops up. And if I'm at a restaurant, it'll make it big enough for a 55-year-old man to see a turf and surf. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. It just magnifies it. So David said, oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. A key to overcoming unbelief is magnify the Lord, not magnify the problem. A key to overcoming unbelief is to magnify what God has done in your life in the past. And you say, if he did it once, he's about to do it again. I know my God knows how to do exceedingly abundantly and above all I could ever ask, think, or imagine. It's not just a positive mindset, although I believe you ought to have a positive mindset. But it's also having a positive mouth set. Because the Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. So we don't say what we have, we say what we're going to have, and we overcome the unbelief. But I love it that this man said, hey, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Because while I'm believing and my son is foaming at the mouth, that's what was happening with this boy, and he's tormented by a demon, my mind gives me problems. Your mind has to be renewed according to Romans 12 and 2. You can write that down. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is made up of neurons, not morons, neurons. Come on, help me now. So these neurons that fire together. So when I ate that I saw the cake, and I was familiar with that kind of cake and that kind of icing, because there's nothing better. I taught you about health, but let me teach you about this. There's nothing better than cheap icing. Can I get some lard up in this church? Right? Just something about it. And while Pastor Rich was standing there so dignified, holding it, not breathing on it, okay, and then my mind told me, you know what that red icing tastes like. You know what that fake dye tastes like. You know what that's going to feel like. In front of my whole church, I stuck my right little finger, my pointer finger, and I stuck it in there and then put it on my lips. And I liked it. And then my mind said, oh, that was good. 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 And then my mind said, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And I thought, I better not do it again. By the way, I'm overcoming a cold. I don't know how I got it, but I did. And I hated it because I told you guys, drink this and eat this and be good. And then the devil is a liar. I'm like, golly. But had I not taken all that stuff, I'd have probably died of pneumonia. Can I get an amen? So your mind begins to fire together and wire up what they call neurological pathways. Yeah. So these neurological pathways, this is why you think a lot of the same thing all the time. Have you ever thought about what you think about? Yeah. And you're thinking about the same thing all the time? And so you got to rewire your brain and say, hey, I'm going to rethink what I'm thinking about right now. This is how you overcome unbelief. Let's read the whole story in Mark chapter 9. And when they came to the disciples, they saw the crowd. When they came to him, the scribes were arguing with them. And immediately the crowd, seeing that, again, just a big crowd. When they saw him, they were greatly amazed. And they ran up to him and they greeted him and they asked them. They said, what are you arguing about? And someone in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought my son to you. Here goes the story with the guy. For he had a spirit that makes him mute. And then it'll seize him, throws him down on the ground, and he foams, grinding his teeth together, and becomes rigid. So I asked the disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, said, oh, faithful generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long do I have to bear with you? Bring him to me. Everybody shout, bring him to me. And when they brought the boy to him, and he saw the spirit, notice there's a spirit behind this thing, immediately the boy convulsed, fell on the ground, rolled out, foaming at the mouth, and he put on this display. And Jesus asked the father, I love this, how long has this been happening to him? How long has this been happening? And then all of a sudden Jesus looks at him, has compassion on him, and Jesus said, there's the scripture we read a minute ago, if you can believe, all things are possible for him that believes. And immediately the father of the child said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. He rebuked it. He didn't talk to it, and he commanded it to never enter him again. And immediately the boy stopped convulsing and got completely delivered. Number one. Everybody shout number one. Number one, his disciples had been able to do this and they didn't do it this time. I believe it's because they were distracted. They were in unbelief. Maybe they were a little low. Maybe they hadn't been to church in a while. And now they were letting the problem, oh my gosh, this kid's convulsing. He's grinding his teeth. He's got a demon. And they looked at the problem more so than the promotion that God had given them, because he said to the disciples, he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said he gave them authority and power over unclean spirits, but they couldn't cast them out. And Jesus says, how long has this been going on? And I'm glad he said that, because he said it's been kind of happening his whole life. I don't know. Some theologians say the kid was in his teens. So maybe you got a situation that's been going on, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. It doesn't matter how long it's been going on. It's about how much longer it's going to be going on. And that stops today. In the next 9 weeks, throughout this open door year, you have the key. You have the authority. Somebody ought to give God praise today to shut this thing down. I also want you to know, remember he said, and Jesus rebuked it. If somebody came in your house and stole your new TV that you haven't even paid for yet on your MasterCard from Costco, and they came into your house and they were taking your TV, they were taking your microwave, and they were taking your stuff, most likely you wouldn't say, hey guys, do you need me to help you load the car? By the way, you forgot that second remote is the remote that works that, and that's over here under the cushion. I hide it from my wife because I like control at my house. I would rather have remote control than no control at all. How many of y'all don't think you're going to help that joker steal your stuff? What you're going to do is you're going to take authority over the situation. And for one, some of y'all got weaponry in your house. Now, I'm never worried about it at my house because we have two-pound dogs. But you also would probably call the authorities. You would take authority, and then you call authorities. Jesus did not look at the problem and go, oh, I hope he gets better. Oh, I hope he stops foaming at the mouth. No, it said he rebuked it. At some point in your life, you have to say, I'm in authority, and God has given me the power to actually rebuke this unclean spirit. Now, I want to pause the sermon and tell you another story. My dad was a cop. Probably arrested half the people on the left side of, in the Earth City area of the church because he was a cop right by Earth City up in Woodson Terrace. And my dad told me as a young man that they taught him in the Highway Patrol Academy that when he would pull somebody over, there was something violent going on, he wouldn't just shoot them right out the gate. He would take authority, and they were supposed to respect the badge and it's respect his authority. But then if he had to go to the next level, then he'd pull out a billy club. I don't even know why they named it Billy other than maybe somebody got beat by the name of Billy. Can I get an amen? I don't even know, I'm ADD. I just went there and thought, why Billy? Why not Jimmy? And then he said, then we go to mace. Then we go for a taser. Worst case scenario, he would have to do the unthinkable. There was authority there. When I watch police officers on the side of the road and they stop and they got a uniform on and they stop, how many of y'all tend to stop when they're doing this in traffic? Yeah. Let's try that again. Over half the people here, we just run them over. Not me. Okay. A lot of Billies up in this car today. Okay. A lot of Billies. Not just Karens at this church. We got some Billies. But I've seen cops be not nearly as large as the person that they were overtaking, but because of the authority, the bigger person submitted because they had to respect the authority. Does that make sense to you? So this isn't about you being, well, I'm not prayed up enough. I'm not strong enough. You have authority, the Bible says, right here, right now. And if you prayed a prayer where you receive Jesus as your Lord, then the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now on the inside of you. And you don't have to have a priest to do it. You don't have to have me to help you do it. You are the one in authority. Give God praise this morning. Come on, you can do better than that. Authority. You are in authority. So at some point, you just got to get up and say, I decree in the name of Jesus today, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I think. This morning, by the way, I woke up, as you can see, and when I woke up, I didn't know what day it was. I did not wake up to angels going, it's Sunday. Little angels, little chubby fat angels flew me in some angel food cake. Here's your angel food cake. Good morning. I woke up and thought, what day is it? And I thought, oh my gosh, it's Sunday. I didn't feel like it was Sunday. I didn't feel like preaching today. But I knew good and well I needed to get up and go to church because I had responsibilities. You're that way on Monday. When you wake up tomorrow to the buzzing of alarm clock, it won't be like, can't wait to go to work. I owe. So off to work I go. No, you do what's right because it's right and you do it right. My point is that no matter what you feel like doing, we are not moved by what we feel. Feelings are fickle. Feelings will follow you. If you get up in the morning and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to worship God. And I know things are going to get better. I'm not going to get bitter. Because I'm the one in authority. Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching good today. So we find ourselves in situations sometimes where we're plagued by doubts and unbelief. And I want to go back to that statement where he said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. How do you help your unbelief? I want to give you a few little steps. Number one, you can go to the University of YouTube. And you can listen to great preaching that fires you up about who you are and what you have. You could just simply go to your Sirius in your car, if you got Sirius Radio. And right now, 24 hours a day, Joel Osteen starting out with a joke. I like to get started with something funny. And he's going to tell you something positive. And he's going to tell you and preach the word. And the enemy doesn't like Joel. But God loves Joel. And you start listening to Joel over and over. You start listening to Joyce. Notice they're all famous names. Jake's, they're J names. Jesus, Joyce. I'm changing my name. Come on, somebody. Jake, call me Jake. No. I believe, think about it, but help my unbelief. Because it is quite natural for us not to acknowledge the struggle through honest prayer. And again, that's why I want you in groups. That's why I want you to go to Growth Track. So you connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose and make a difference. So when you go in there, you'll start learning about your personality. You'll start learning about how you can connect at the church, how you can connect with other people. And honestly, many times that is the key to overcoming the unbelief is who you're hanging around with. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Shout that with me. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Look at your neighbor and say, your future's looking pretty good. Now, I want you to know this. God works all things together for your good. It might not look good, but it turns out good. Everything I thought was going to drown me actually taught me how to swim. Everything I thought was going to kill me actually made me stronger. I remember years ago, there in Sunset Hills, you're like 5 minutes away over on 1416 Larkin Williams Road. If you were leave there today and go right across the other side of the river, you would see kind of where I grew up in my daddy's church. And I was there, and my dad was there. I'm now in my 30s, and then all of a sudden, my dad dies. I was begging God. God, please don't let this happen. My dad's 56 years old. He goes to heaven. At the same time, my mom goes crazy, marries multiple guys, been married multiple times. All kinds of hell is going on. The church is now growing. People are getting saved because of the terrible stuff that my family's done and doing. Now, some people that have been with me for a long time are now exiting because they're being pulled on by haters. People drinking Haterade. And I'm sitting here watching God do miracles and watching God do great things. And at the same time, physically getting slapped by my mother because I'm taking the church the wrong way while I'm throwing up right before I preach. And the advisors are telling me, go tell the truth. Tell what's going on. Tell it, expose. And I said, no, I'm just going to honor my mother and father and the Lord. And I just kept doing what was right in the midst of turmoil and problems. And no matter where you're at today, sitting in one of those campuses today, all that was born, not out of pleasure, but out of pain. You keep on going on and you walk by faith and not by sight. I haven't seen my mom in 20 years, but I've got thousands of mothers now who embrace me and love me and help me. It might not always come from where you want it to come from, and your mama might not tell you you're doing good, and your daddy might not be there to slap you on the back, but your heavenly father said, yeah, I'm proud of you. Well done. That good and faithful servant. I started coughing, choking on red icing right there. I want you to write this down. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. In fact, I think you ought to kind of do a play on words and start using this term, I doubt it. So when the devil says, in the next 9 weeks, you're not going to overcome and the door isn't going to open, you go, I doubt it. You're going to lose everything you own. I doubt it. You're going to die on the operating floor. I doubt it. When you start doubting what the devil's going to do, what you're doing is elevating your expectation and your faith. And now you're actually hearing. Remember I said in Romans 10, 17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're hearing the word of God. I have a question to ask you at all campuses. How many of y'all already, you're feeling a little stronger than you were when we started? Raise your hand. How many wish the person next to you had not raised their hand? Their right guard done went left. Okay. Faith grows by immersing yourself in the word of God. A while ago, my beautiful wife was on stage and she said something in Spanish. And I don't know what she said, but the people that speak Spanish know what she said. But I got a feeling she said something about that's cake and cake is good. And so when we go to, we were just in, I don't know, Peru. We're in different parts of the world. And we'll get in the cab and she'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And I would be, and the Lord would say unto thee. But at nighttime, when we get to, into bed, she says, do you mind if I do my Duolingo? And at nighttime, she gets on Duolingo and she learns a language. So then when we go into these countries, get this, she gets immersed in what they're saying. And when she gets immersed, she comes back and said, man, Duolingo ain't never done nothing for me compared to being with the people in Venezuela, between the people in Peru, the people in Argentina, the people in Mexico. And so she gets around all these people that speak that language. Y'all see what I'm saying right now? And when they start speaking the language, she starts speaking the language. And she doesn't always know how to say it all, but she understands it. I'm going somewhere right now. So when you immerse yourself in Faith Church, you might not be able to speak it yet, but you start understanding it. And when you start understanding, and you go to bed at night, you said, oh, I came from a mighty long way, and what didn't kill me is going to make me stronger. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. Everything my hand touches turns to good, and you're walking around with a blank key in your hand saying, oh, God is going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Somebody ought to give God praise. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him. Come on, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, shout it. All right, I'm almost done. You can be seated. Sit down with all the other people who didn't stand up. All them lazy white people sitting down. I like our church. I like our church so much, when I go to heaven, I'm going to ask God if I can come back on the weekends. Just to... I just don't want to miss it. Last passage, Matthew 14, verse 30. Peter walking on the water, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And then he cried out, save me. And immediately, everybody shout immediately. Immediately, immediately Jesus reaches out his hand. He didn't let him drown. Immediately, shout it again. Come on, what? Immediately reaches out his hand. He was walking on the water, but then he looked at the winds and he said something stupid. Oh, wait, you can't walk on the water when it's windy. How many of y'all know you can't walk on the water when it's calm? This is stupid. But that's what your brain will tell you. It's not working. It's not changing. She's not changing, he's not changing, they're not changing, you're not gonna, and you get your eyes focused on the problem and you don't really use what I wanna call this common sense. Have you ever noticed that common sense is not that common? Yeah. Come on, raise your hand, common sense. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming that you don't have any common sense. You just gotta go, this just doesn't make sense to me. This just doesn't make sense. I went in St. Louis, I never really stay one place. We travel a lot. So my house in St. Louis or here, I'm not there long. And I just went on like a 2.5 week stretch while I was at the house in St. Louis, the way our travel schedule worked out. And I was just there for 2 weeks. And we built this house and we planted these trees. And the trees have to be watered, especially in Missouri, because it's, Nelly wrote the song, it's getting hot in here, so take off all my clothes. It is hot. Like you're it's, well, Florida, you know, down here it's so hot. Like have you ever gotten in your car and you touched your seatbelt and it was a branding iron? You're like, oh my gosh, I have a permanent tattoo. Okay. Well, these trees, they had put these automatic, some of the guys that helped me, they put these automatic like little round watering things. And so they fill the round tube and then the tube waters the tree. And I noticed the trees weren't doing good. And I thought, man, these trees aren't right. But every time when I went to town, they were always full. So I thought the guys were taking care of them. But then when I was there for 2 weeks, I realized that nobody had filled them up, but they weren't draining. That they were just as full as they ever were. And common sense, shout it, common sense. I went to homeschool, but I said, wait a minute now. The trees are dying and the bags are full. Could it be that it's not releasing into the tree? And I went over there and started taking my fingernails and digging down. And it was as dry. I wanted to say something bad. It's a Presbyterian sermon. Come on, somebody. I didn't mean it. It was just dry. It was dry as your grandmama's turkey when she bakes it. Come on, I'm trying to save myself from the Presbyterian. It was as dry as your elbows when you don't need Vaseline. Come on, help me on this right now. And I said, what? Who? I got to do something about this. Here's the reason why I told you the story. Sometimes it looks like you're full. And it looks like you went to church. But did you really go to church? Did you go to church and say, hey, is the bag filling up and is the bag putting out? Because if it's not filling up and it's not putting out, then the roots are going to dry up. But when you go to church and you say, I'm coming to church on time. I know I just lost half of you, but stick with me on this right now. On time. If the Lord ever comes to our church, I'm just my pet peeve. If he ever comes to our church and like he says, we're returning and we're going to heaven. And he does that when church starts. Most of y'all ain't going to get together. Come on, right here, right now. God is my witness. Y'all be like, what? Y'all come to church? What happened? What happened, right? What happened? Sometimes some of our campuses, when I'm walking out, people are walking in. I'm like, what in the world? Oh, sorry, I was late. I just got late. I said, late? What's cool about our church is people know how to lie. They're like, oh, we're just early for the next service. You liar. We don't even have another service after this one. It's 3:00 in the afternoon. Okay, listen to this. Use your common sense and go, wait a minute. If I'm feeling depressed, and if my faith is low and something's wrong, this bag looks right, but it's not right. You can go to church and not get anything out of church. But if you go to church on time, lift your hands, you start worshiping God, then you get into it and you allow the Holy Spirit to kind of dial you in and say, stop that, do more of this. Then you'll leave with the confidence you need, knowing if God be for me, who and what can be against me? I'm gonna pray like everything depends on God, and I'm gonna work like everything depends on me. Y'all follow me today? And that's how we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now I want you to high five your neighbor right now. Come on, high five him. And then I want you to stand up on your feet. And then I want you to move around just a little bit. Everybody shout it with me. Shout, I believe. Shout it strong. I believe that I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm anointed. And something good is about to happen to me. Shout, I have the key to unlock my destiny and do what God called me to do. I believe that something extraordinary over the next 9 weeks is going to happen to me. Now listen, this is my daughter. She looked just like me. She's with hips and lips. Can I get an amen? And Ashton, she has a little tattoo on her arm somewhere. So, and it says, come over here, I'll show you. When she was a minor, she tried to figure out how to get a tattoo. She couldn't get a tattoo, and she said, what if I put David Crank times two? And I said, I will drive you to the store. DC times two. Now, this is my daughter. And there is nothing that I wouldn't do for her. There's nothing she wouldn't do for me. So let's keep on doing nothing for each other. But there are things in life when she was little, I was like, you can't drive. She wanted to drive. She wasn't ready to drive. A lot of times, God, my grandson, he's around here somewhere, and he's not ready to drive. I know he's not ready to drive because he's got a lot of road rage already, and we don't even know how he got it. Oftentimes, God has the key, but he has not carved you up enough to unlock your ability to have the funds to have the access to the car or the next level. Y'all see what I'm saying right now? So you just got to keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on being pretty. Keep on walking by faith. Keep putting your eyelashes on. Come on, somebody. Keep getting your hair done. And when you don't feel right, you do right. And then eventually, right will follow. I want to pray for you. I want God to do what only God can do. Because I believe that your ladder is going to be greater than your past. I believe that many of you have been having disappointment after disappointment. And God tells me to tell you right now, this disappointment was actually an appointment with God today. And today is a day of turnaround. When you fly into November, you're going to remember today was the day that God did the supernatural in your life.